kids about values. Sure, we have situations that come up that we talk to them about. We want to find increasingly creative ways to teach them social responsibility or money or being kind to people or taking care of the environment and all kinds of things without being kind of moralistic and having the talk over and over, right? We at Green Connections Radio like creative people, as you know. And one of the people I met recently has a very creative way of teaching kids. So here we go. Welcome to Green Connections Radio, where we help you live green, work green, and earn green. I'm Joan Michelson. We are talking innovation with top leaders and thinkers in energy and sustainability and those who are transforming our world. You benefit from my extensive network of C-level executives, entrepreneurs, artists, authors, government leaders, and journalists, and my many years in the media and Fortune 500 companies. Find us online on greenconnectionsradio.com, iTunes, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Stitcher, and wherever you like to listen to your favorite podcasts. So what is this creative way of teaching kids? I'd like you to meet Ellen Sabin. Ellen Sabin is a very unusual children's book author. She's kind of a hybrid, if I may, she'll probably correct me about this in a minute, between a teacher and a writer. She comes from a nonprofit background and a management background, and we'll hear the story of how she got into doing this work. But what Ellen has done is created a book series, a workbook series, to help teach kids about various kinds of values, including protecting the environment. Welcome to Green Connections Radio, Ellen, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, thank you. We're happy to have you here. So because we're focused on the environment, we're going to focus on your watering can book, though I know you have, what, 30 books or something you've done?
I've done a series of books, and the publishing company is actually called Watering Can Press, the tagline being Growing Kids with Character. But the environmental book is called The Greening Book, Being a Friend to Planet Earth.
Okay. So how many books total have you done?
I've done 14.
Ah, okay. So The Greening Book, Being a Friend to Planet Earth, you describe as a unique and empowering book that engages children in learning about environmental issues. So how do you do that?
Well, the backdrop of all of the books, including that one, is that our books are more than storybooks for children. We create engaging experiences that nurture and inspire children, essentially as they grow into their roles as healthy, kind, confident, and caring adults. So at the center of every book we create is the child who's reading the book and experiencing the interactive nature of co-authoring the book, of filling in the blanks, of writing down ideas, so that they can actually explore, create, discuss, draw, and ultimately, because it's an activity book that prompts them to think and fill in their own journey, the lessons they'll learn will be more personal and more sticky and more habit-forming.
So are these based on some kind of neuroscience or the way the brain works or something?
They are, insofar as everything tells us that experiential learning is more memorable and more impactful. But frankly, it also relates to the fact that, as you said in your introduction, you know, many things we learn that could often be righteous or preachy or, gee, you should, gee, you oughta, we all resist, whether we're adults or kids. And one of the sort of other elements of this approach is that we take topics like protecting the environment or being giving and charitable or kind to peers with autism, whatever the topic might be, and by allowing the writer, the child, to, you know, essentially drive the bus, to fill in the blanks and find out why something matters to them, it's also more personal and more impactful.
So that's interesting. So how do they figure out what matters to them? I mean, how do they, you describe it as an activity book, they're filling in blanks and things like and such, but how does that work? It's still a book.
Yep. So I will answer that question by telling you on this book kind of where I had the aha moment. And, you know, frankly, it was a moment that I was hiking, which is something I love to do. And I stopped and I appreciated the Colorado Rocky Mountains around me at the time. And it was sort of at that moment that I understood that the reason that I care about being green really is because I was really thinking about, wow, what does the earth give to me? What do I appreciate? And ultimately, I choose to do things that are green, not because I feel like I, quote, should, but because I value my relationship with the earth and the gifts that it gives to me. And since relationships are two-way streets, and as a sign of my appreciation for earth's gifts, I do my best to take care of it in return. And that kind of set the course on how I wrote the greening book, Being a Friend to Planet Earth. I wrote it so that it could inspire children to think about, grow, and acknowledge their own things that they appreciate. All of those activities in the beginning of the book let them stop and ponder some of the things that they get from the earth so that they can really think to themselves, what are they thankful for? What do they value? And that sets the stage for then really being able to say, okay, cool, so you love all these things. What does the earth need from you if you want to be a good friend back to it?
Oh, that's great. It reminds me on Valentine's Day, I did a story, I did a Huffington Post blog about how we need to fall in love with the environment again and with Mother Nature again, because when we love something, we take good care of it.
Absolutely. Yep, you're echoing exactly. It's the same theory that, you know, we, taking care of it is a two-way street, and whether it's, you know, you have fun climbing a tree, going camping, going fishing, watching a pretty bird, planting a garden, or benefiting from fossil fuels, whatever it is, unless you stop and think about, wow, those things are kind of important to me, then why would we feel like it's important to protect them if we don't elevate them to realizing that they're important to us?
Mm-hmm. So how do you decide how to phrase it? So, like, I'm looking at the first few pages of the greening book, and you say things like, the earth gives us things we enjoy. Have you ever had fun climbing a tree, going on a camping trip, playing at the beach, hiking in the mountains, going fishing, taking a walk with your dog, watching a pretty bird, planting a garden, or doing any other fun things outdoors? If so, then you've enjoyed some of the amazing gifts that the earth has to offer.
Yes, and on the subsequent pages of that chapter are filled with some of those activities I just mentioned that don't just talk at a child, but engage them. So, for example, relating to animals, there's a page that says Earth's animals. People share the earth with more than 2 million types of animals. Some animals make wonderful pets. Others are great to admire in the wild or at the zoo. No matter where they're found, the earth's animals bring people happiness. What's your favorite animal? Find a picture of this animal and glue it here, or draw a picture of you with the animal.
Oh, I see.
You know, so the following pages, whether it's on animal or nature or outdoors, you know, or food, are a series of pages that engage children not just in reading or being read to, but in writing a story, drawing a picture. There's an entire page that says, what are you thankful for? Below, you can list some things you're thankful for that you get and enjoy from nature and the earth. You know, so literally, it's making them first think about specific things and go through the activities, but then more broadly, think, wow, like I've only just got them started. What else do you find exciting and that do you find thankful for? You know, do you love it on a cloudy day when you go outside and feel the sun on your face? Like, just really getting all of us to think, wow, like, what do I want to protect here? Do you love it when you go to a park and there's no litter and you're with your family and it's pretty and nice and you know, undisturbed by litter? That kind of thing.
Oh, I see. So do you suggest to them that they pick up the litter that they see?
The journey of the book, kind of to follow your question, how do I get them there? The first chapter, like you just kind of mentioned, really tees up why care. Why do we, what, like you just said about Valentine's mm-hmm. Day, why should we care? If you don't love it or like it or appreciate it, you're really not going to do something kind for it. So let's start there. The next chapter stops and gives them some information. The name of the chapter is, What Does the Earth Need From You? Mm-hmm. And it gets into, you know, like most friends, the Earth needs you to, A, understand it, B, take care of it, and C, speak up for it. With some explanations about those sorts of things and how friends take care of each other. And it's in the next chapter that it's called You and Your Friend Planet Earth, Understanding Its Needs and Being a Good Friend, that I go through pages where I'll talk about many issues from you and Earth's trash to you and Earth's air and energy.
I see water, too, you and Earth's
yep,
water, how you need
water.
Clean water to be to live and be healthy.
Exactly. And then on those pages, there's a page that explains the issue and then a page that either tells them or asks them, okay, cool, here are some tangibly specific and small everyday things you can do to help on those issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see. Turn off the water while you're brushing your teeth. Take a shower instead of a bath. Take a shorter shower. When you notice, tell an adult when you notice the dripping faucet can be so they can fix it. That's a good one. I like that one. You don't talk about recycling yet, but I'm sure you do probably in somewhere else in the book that we haven't
run into. Yep, I think you're only looking at the sample pages, which is only about six of them on the website. But in the book, there's a whole page about you and Earth's trash, and you know, one of the strong elements in the spread is recycling. You know, what exactly can you do? Why can you do it? You know, in addition to pure recycling, for example, there's another whole page on another way to recycle is instead of throwing your things out, another way to be green is to take your old toys or shirts or books and donate them to a local library.
Mm-hmm.
You know, reuse them.
Mm-hmm.
So there's very specific examples that a child can feel very empowered that what they do adds up.
Right, and it doesn't require spending money either.
Exactly. All it requires is their passion and their interest.
Well, and being creative about it, you know, coming up with a, you know, finding another way to do it than just to buy a replacement or toss it out, right? I like that you have some environmental heroes in here, too. I wonder how many kids are stumped by Gaylord Nelson. Most people don't know that he started Earth Day. But that's
a
good one.
Which
I was glad to see that.
They're going to look it up and get excited.
Yeah, well, I was VP of Communications for Earth Day Network for a while, so that one particularly got my attention.
So I'm hitting home for you there.
Yeah,
you are.
So what's your methodology in developing these books?
Well, all of the books, and actually, can I just say one thing about that chapter that you just jumped to?
Sure.
Because it's probably, so after the chapter where I really give cool, exciting, tangible, reliable ideas, there's a whole chapter on Speak Up for the Earth, that another way to help the Earth, just like we would help a friend, is to learn, once you've learned more about it, to teach other people and to take actions. So whether it's writing a letter to an elected official, to speaking out, to finding environmental heroes, and figuring out how you want to be a hero. That chapter really focuses in on, like, what you do matters. And one of the exciting things about that, which sort of gets us into the next question you asked me, really, is why is that chapter important? It's important because these big elevated ideas about things that I write about, from going green to being giving and philanthropic to, you know, being healthy or caring to people with special needs, they're really big, complicated, out there topics. One of the things that the book's journeys do is put the kid at the center and allow them to really see their actions make a huge difference. And that's a great motivating force. You know, you know, when you and I sit back and think, wow, there's a lot of public health issues in Africa, that might feel too big. But if we think about specific small daily things we can do for public health, that motivates us, and it's the same with children.
Oh, I love that. Does your book, speaking of public health, the Greening book, get into the public health impact of environmentalism, you know, clean air? I mean, you talked about needing clean drinking water, but do you actually get into some of the more public health kind of more direct relationships?
I do, but and I come from the public health sector, not in a, you know, really, really deep intellectual way, but in the way that we appreciate clean air and we need it, the way that we appreciate clean water and there's not a lot of water and we need to be good to it. So in that way, we do. I do have another book called The Healthy Body Book, Caring for the Coolest Machine You'll Ever Own.
Oh, I love that. That's great. I do every so often say our bodies are pretty amazing machines. So let me ask you a couple other quick things, and then I'll ask you a couple questions about you because I know we're short on time. What is the age of the audience that you have in mind as you're writing these?
But we do have a lot of companies or foundations use our books to connect to the adult market so that they can bring a topic into a household in a way that will trickle up. So, for example, kids are great Trojan horses for lessons. You know, one of the best ways, as you and I will know, that, you know, to make somebody stop smoking or wear a seatbelt or recycle is to teach their children about it. And, you know, it ripples through the conversations in the family, especially in a book like mine that's a conversation starter. There are specific places where it'll say, ask your parent this question and write their answer here. So they really do ignite family conversations. So some of our clients, end user, still 6 to 12-year-olds, but will take 10,000 copies of one of our books branded and give it to adults for their branding and cause marketing to ripple through a family. Their target audience is the adults, but they know that doing something good for an adult is one of the most important ways into their heart if it's for their child.
Oh, I see. Okay, that's cool. So take me into the room of creating one of these. What's your methodology? Do you have a set kind of pedagogy, for lack of a better word, that you use in developing every book? Is it the same formula?
I do. There's definitely a brand and methodology to the journey of the book, if you will. And the journey really starts with me, and I don't write new books. Somebody comes to me having seen one of my other books and pre-orders at least 10,000 because they think my approach is impactful. So I don't even take on a new topic unless that happens. But once I agree to, and that happens, so for example, you're in the Maryland, D.C. area, one of our most recent books, the Imagine It book, Discover, Create, and Invent an Amazing Future, Booz Allen Hamilton just launched it because they took the first 15,000. And that meant they initiated the creation of the book. Once that happens, I then stop and I think, okay, the environment. How can I take on this topic, most importantly to me, in a way that's not academic or preachy, but that's inviting? And frankly, that's the hardest part, for me to come up with a table of contents that follows my methodology of informing and inspiring and letting somebody answer for themselves, why do I care about this, before I get them to the point of here's some information and here's how to care about it. So they do all kind of follow the same trajectory. I do use some common approaches. All of my books start with a letter to a child on, hey, you're going to co-author this book with me, and here's why it's important, and here's why you're powerful. So I do use sort of similar content approaches in all of the books, but obviously the topics go deep. I do an amazing amount of research for each of the books. While they're only 64-page children's activity books, they're extremely researched, and in this book, since it's so wed to your environment. You know, I can say some of the people, you know, who really helped out on it, you know, were people who, you know, you would know and love through environmental issues, who vetted it and, you know, looked at it with me, from folks at the EPA to, you know, other big organizations who looked through it with me, because that's important.
So you vet the facts and the instruction, if you will, that you're giving. I see that you also have a teacher's guide available. Is that for each book?
We had we have free teacher's guides that link the books to lesson plans for classroom use.
Oh, cool.
Which is amazing. Rod Page, the former Secretary of Education, introduced me and suggested this when I first started, and had somebody create these teacher's guides. And one of the cool values of that, and a good example would be, a big company in Louisville, Kentucky, for example, took 10,000 copies of the Greening book and gave it to all third graders in their district. Obviously, they were doing it, you know, because they cared about environmental issues, but also to be a good corporate citizen in their hometown. And the free teacher's guides make it so that our books not only are great standalone helpful tools, sometimes even helpful for companies that have us brand them, but also, instead of just dumping a book on a classroom, they link the books to lesson plans so teachers can be extremely assisted in using the books in the school setting.
Oh, I love that. And it makes it kids learn more, and frankly, to your point earlier, it helps the teachers teach the kids in a way that also gets to their parents. I love the cover that you say. First of all, the picture of the Greening book is adorable, where you have a little boy and a little girl holding hands with the earth, which is just precious. But then you say that you write by Ellen Sabin and blank, where the child fills in their name.
Thank you. And that's essentially starting the whole thing that, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11-year-old Joan is filling out the book and writing, making her own decisions. I think all too often, and this is elevating a little bit, but all too often, whether it's the World Wide Web with you and I, you know, whatever we want to ask, we get an answer immediately. And that might tell us an answer, but that doesn't put in our gut why we care. And having you co-write a book with me that you're writing your own ideas and thoughts and passions definitely gets you more engaged than just giving you information.
Oh, absolutely. It also reminds me of, you make them think about it on their own. Reminds me of a woman I interviewed a while back for a business column I did on leadership, who told me that she hated having smartphones because her staff was not learning to think on their own. It was too easy for them to text her or call her for advice on the fly when they were in a meeting or in a critical situation. And she said, look, you know, when I was coming through the ranks, I had to learn on my own. I couldn't call somebody. I couldn't text somebody and say, oh, God, what would you do now? I had just had to wing it and deal with the consequences and figure it out. And so what you're doing is you're making them figure it out on their own.
I'm also, you know, almost, I hate to use the word manipulating, but I will, I'm almost manipulating them to engage their family members in the conversation. Because the book does, whether it's their parents or their classmates or their siblings, there's group activities, there's ask somebody in your family this question and write their answer down. You know, so it's not just, wow, this is going to be helpful, you know, and have an impact on what you do and you think, a child between 6 and 12. But it'll have an impact on what their family members and peers do. I mean, there's a book I just opened up to page 54 of the Greening book. Yeah, there's a terrifically, hopefully wonderfully impactful page that says, get your family and friends involved. When you talk to other people about being good to the earth, this is towards the end of the book, and you get them excited to get involved, you can get them excited to get involved. Start with your family. Share your ideas about being green with them and ask them their ideas. Then you and your family can write a family promise. This is a list of ways that you all want to help the environment. And then there's a blank, and it looks like a certificate. And then it says, our family promise. We all promise to be green by doing
X, and Y, and Z. Oh, I love that. That's great. So before I let you go, because we've got we both are on a time frame here. I normally like to ask a few career questions at the end, but here's what I really want to ask you is, what advice would you give to someone who has an idea or would like to tap into their own creative juices? Because, I mean, you were doing something completely different when this showed up for you. So you've kind of been through this. You went from a management nonprofit advocacy career suddenly into doing this. And we don't have time to get into your whole story, but what would you suggest to someone who wants to find that voice in themselves?
I think my answer to that, and yeah, my former career was doing public health in Africa, so it was very different. And to be honest, I wasn't thinking about being a writer or doing this. It started with the giving book, Open the Door to a Lifetime of Giving, which I wrote as a birthday present for my niece when she was turning 6. And it rippled from there in where that book took me, which really was meant from my heart to hers in the feeling of, here's a recipe for a happy life, be giving to others. And, I wrote it in this formula, and it was from my heart. So I guess the short answer to your question is, when you're authentic and really do something that you think and hope can really make a difference, it's hard to stop you. I think a lot of people, hear, which many people will line up to give me, you, and anybody, all the reasons you can't get published, you can't do that, this won't work. Frankly, my hands were over my ears. I wasn't constricted by the rules of publishing or getting published. I just simply thought the message that was so important to my niece that took off was really a cool message to share with other kids, and I closed my eyes and ears, and I just kind of followed it. So I guess my biggest piece of advice is, if it's important, anything that feels authentic and giving back to the world that somebody wants to do, I think gets done. I think, we choose where we spend our time and our energy, and we can all make a big difference by following kind of that pitter-patter in our hearts on artistic expressions that serve others.
Well, and something you said is very key, which is tune out the naysayers. Don't listen to the people who say, no, 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 can't, or why bother kinds of questions. I mean, frankly, Tuesdays with Maury started out that way, too. He just, there are a million books that started that way.
Totally. And, as you're saying that, it's just making me recall one of the first, there were tons of angels that got behind me on this whole journey to creating a publishing company, not knowing any way how to do it. One of them was the head of publishing at Barnes & Noble, who looked at me over generously giving me time over lunch one day, and he said, "You want to know something? The last person I told your book and your idea isn't going to work, we don't want to take it, was Tim Zagat with the Zagat guy." Clearly,
great. Industry
is wrong. He's now a great friend. Ellen, tune everybody out. Do it. This is cool. This is real. This is authentic. I hear you. Go do it.
I love that. And that's a great line to end on, too. So thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. Ellen Sabin of the Watering Can Press and
thank
the Greening
Book.
Thank
you. And can I tell your listeners the website so they can see the book?
Yeah, I will do that. That's okay. We'll have a link to it. It's wateringcanpress.com.
Correct.
And we'll link to it from our site as well.
So, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. So what did you hear Ellen say? How will you teach your kids about greening the earth and being a friend to planet Earth? Will you change your habits in any way? You might contact Ellen and figure out if you want to give these books as Christmas presents or holiday presents. Or tweet it to us at Joan Michelson or post it on our Facebook page and like the page while you're there. And ask to join our new private Facebook group. Or email it to us at info@greenconnectionsradio.com. You can also leave it on iTunes with your review. I'm Joan Michelson. Thank you for joining us. See you next time. Do you want even more great conversations about what's happening with sustainability in lifestyle issues? Check out some podcasts from one of our new sponsors, about a dozen great shows focused on lifestyle industries on Mouth Media Network, with top brand executives, industry leaders, and innovators in fashion, beauty, travel, real estate, content creation, and even spirituality industries and more. Check out Mouth Media Network, powered by Sennheiser, on iTunes, Google Play, and at mouthmedianetwork.com.